friends, and welcome in. The Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures each and every day from the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports. Head over to there when you want to pick up a Yamaha golf cart. You head over to ImpactPowerSportsMI.com or their location, their exact location on 14 Mile Road in beautiful Rockford, Michigan. Thank you so much to them. They also sell side-by-sides, motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, e-bikes, scooters, go-karts. Oh, so much. As we are back from the brink, my gosh, that illness that consumed me was no joke. My God. A lot of what I experienced last week, I don't recall. It's all foggy. The unfortunate illness that consumed my soul, I think that might have been the most sick that I've been ever. All right? And it's I'm not out of it yet. I mean, excuse me. That happens. And that'll happen. But I am definitely doing much better. I would say I'm about 80%, 75 to 80%. But, oh my God. I don't know how I managed to at one point during the week. I think I did a reasonably long show at some point during the week. I know Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I didn't do a show. I just came out here and said, hey, I'm sick. Oh, I got to be. And then I published the Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast on the free platform and something to listen to while I'm away on Patreon. There was one day, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday, where I actually reasonably fulfilled a show, but I think that that actually hurt me. When am I going to learn? Just lay low. Don't do it. So, Chris, even, he writes, Chris D. writes, hoping the weekend was full of recovery. And that's all I did. It was like, wake up, look around, go back to bed. And I was exhausted the whole weekend. My energy level is back right now. I'm still coughing. In fact, last night I'm laying in bed and you know, plotting my course of action for the week here. And I started coughing, and it led to like a 15-minute attack, which it could happen again. I feel like I have to cough right now. In fact, I'm going to stand by. I had this cough button. Alan said, yeah, Tuesday you did like an hour 15. I think at that time, that I was thinking that I was out of the woods, but it was just getting started. Chris says, how is the queen of the forest? So she had it before I had it. And then I got what she had. And then, in fact, last Sunday, we had people over, and everybody who came over got sick. It's like our own version of COVID. And I think I indicated in the 7 minutes that I've been talking about how sick I was. If you were to compare this to COVID, COVID was easy compared to how I felt with this disaster. My God. But much better. Thank you very much for the concern that you all showed. Chris said, your very own super spreader event, without a doubt. Amanda says it had to be Tuesday because on Monday you just did the Fatathon update and then you called it a day, which we'll get to in a moment. I do want to get to this before I get to all the other things that I want to talk about. I mean, that's a good thing about coming back from a long time off. You can quite easily go back into the archives of the news to talk about a number of things, but I'd like to get this from our very own Big Fraud News Network, which What's interesting about the Big Fraud News Network is they only really talk when they've got something to say. But when they do, by God, look out. Now, a lot of people have thought that the Big Fraud News Network is something that I did. I don't have anything to do with it. It is simply a news network created for all things Eric Zane Show podcast related and any type of drama or whatever. And they'll give you the hard news and the facts. But if there is speculation, they'll absolutely dive into that. So it's a little bit Wall Street Journal and a little bit New York Post, the Big Fraud News Network. Some of the best writers in America have walked the halls of the Big Fraud News Network, and we're glad to have them. But I'm here to dispel any type of rumors or thoughts that could be percolating because of the most recent article by the Big Fraud News Network. And I'm going to read it to you right now. It just crossed my desk when I was at the hospital today with the NFK. Headline reads, Eric Zane canceling himself. Or it says, Eric Zane canceling himself? Big Fraud News Network, BFNN, for immediate release. Eric Zane canceling himself, podcaster under fire for hot takes on veterans and wrestlers. Now, this is dated August 17th, 2025, but I just saw it today. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Eric Zane, host of the Eric Zane Show podcast, has left fans scratching their heads this week after releasing two unusually short episodes. While Zane has publicly blamed a, quote, nasty bug for the trimmed down content, insiders suggest something far more explosive is happening behind the scenes. Side note, Maureen says, wait, what? Hospital for the NFK? Routine ultrasound. Fear not. Scheduled for his liver. Sources close to the Big Fraud News Network report that Zane is currently in hot water with both Twitch and Red Circle platforms that host and distribute his content following controversial remarks in which he allegedly referred to professional wrestlers and military veterans as stupid. The comments made during a recent rant were flagged by popular YouTuber Sonny Loco, who immediately reported the remarks to Zane's sponsors and distribution platforms. Sonny Loco, whose channel often highlights media accountability, is said to have reached out directly to Twitch, Red Circle, and several of Zane's local sponsors. The backlash was swift, with whispers of monetization threats and community guidelines violations now swirling in the digital air. Okay, side note, that's the thing about the Big Fraud News Network. You're getting superior writing. This is the type of writing that, when spoken, translates to even a more viable mode of disseminating the content. You can't do that all the time with a printed article. Read it like you're doing the news, and it has an even greater impact. Zane's last two shows, each clocking in at about 15 minutes, have done little to dispel rumors. Loyal listeners noted the host sounded raspy and off his usual game, but others believe the shortened episodes are an attempt to quietly ride out the storm. Stand by. Oh, my God. Eric says he's sick, said one anonymous source from the Zaniac community. But come on, man. You don't go from two-hour rants to 15 minutes unless something's up. This has big cancel written all over it. As of this writing, neither Twitch nor Red Circle have made public statements regarding the situation. Zane himself remains defiant, if not slightly congested, promising to get back to full shows soon while suspiciously avoiding any mention of the controversy. Whether this is just a brief illness or the start of a slow digital exile remains to be seen. One thing's for sure, When the big fraud himself is quiet, something loud is probably brewing. Stay tuned. BFNN will be following this story very closely, or until Zane calls us assholes on tomorrow's show. Look, when you're as low on the totem pole as I am, basically a piece of shit screaming at clouds every single day, you don't ever look at news coverage like this and poo-poo it. You want that news coverage. The day that you dismiss high-profile news content like the Big Fraud News Network, that's the day that you dig your own grave, in my opinion. No, I totally discount it and deny it, but I'm not going to poo-poo it. Hell no. That's a great news source. If they're writing about your old pal EZ, that's a win for me. I'll take that any day of the week. There is no truth to it, unfortunately, but I'm not above just grabbing basic thoughts and ideas and spitting them out as possibly being a fact to convince anyone. That is out of my playbook. I support their efforts. Man Bun Chris says, what's Big Fraud's response? Well, there you go. And then he says, is it true? Short week last week and this week. Okay. And I know the timing of this is terrible. But there will be fresh shows today, obviously. A Tuesday edition, of course. Wednesday, yeah. And then that's going to do it. I will check with Ben Glaze so that we can do a Wednesday edition of a Big Fraud show. With Who Are These Free Beers on Wednesday, as well as the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, which we did not do last week. But then Chris is right. Thursday and Friday, I have mandatory scheduled cleanup of Fear Bunker North. Maureen just informed me. I'm glad she did. Ben is in Mexico on his honeymoon. There will not be a Big Fraud Wednesday. You guys have this down more than I do. Man Bun Chris says, it's just a little scary to see the mainstream media talking about this. I know. When the Big Fraud News Network gets behind a story, we haven't heard from the Big Fraud News Network in quite some time. Like I said, they don't say much until something needs to be said. All right? 9 times out of 10, when the Big Fraud News Network says, where there's smoke, there's fire, I would agree with that. But not this time. Thursday and Friday of this week, I will not be available because I will be up north. And that started out as literally a all hands on deck approach. The property is littered with dead trees. Now that's music to my ears. I love that. Now the road into the property, you could not get past. I mean, you couldn't even get a car in. There were so many trees down. But that road in follows the power lines. Well, I have reason to believe that the road is clear all the way in now because the power has been restored after Hurricane Ice blasted northern Michigan. By the way, there are still people without power out there, up there. They did restore power to Fear Bunker North. They replaced power poles. They restrung the lines. It's a total rebuild. But in order to do that, they had to get the trucks in with those buckets and the cranes to get up there. So they more than likely, in fact, I know they did, cleared the road for me, which is good. So they did a lot of the heavy lifting. But there is still a tremendous amount of trees that have to be cut up and hauled away in order to be prepared for the annual Memorial Day Fear Bunker North Fish Fry. And I know what you're thinking. Easy, why don't you do the podcast from up there? Okay, the last time I did that, it burned into my brain a bit of a problem that I was not happy with. Fear Bunker North is my fortress of solitude. And to be able to do the podcast up there, it's combining two things that should never be combined. The fortress of solitude with regular day-to-day work. In addition, there are some technical disadvantages to doing the show from up there. I already see folks saying the lag is tough. Jeremy says, don't do the show from up there. It was pretty shitty last time. Yeah, I can't. And everything's slower. And I find myself, my brain does not go to a good place when I am struggling with technical issues to do the show when I'm surrounded by the majestic nature of Fear Bunker North, okay? So I have banned myself from actually doing a podcast up there. It will never, ever happen again. No matter what. But I had an army of people as in an all-hands-on-deck moment to join me up there. So you had Charity Scam Mike. You had Marquee. You had Dr. Jason, and you had Teacher Josh that were all going to be up there. These are my four of my most cherished loved ones on the planet to help me at Fear Bunker North. It was going to be a guys' weekend where we're going to sit around and cut up logs and pick up sticks and light a fire and cook on the open fire and make s'mores and do guy shit. And then one by one, they fell. I now have a grand total of zero people that will be joining me up north at Fear Bunker North. Jason is a physician. I love this guy so much. A little bit of background on Jason here. Okay. From the family dynamic, you know that I'm very, very close with my stepsisters. And my oldest stepsister is Sue. Her daughter, Sam, is about 30, got married to this dude, Jason. And for the first several years of the relationship, all he did around the fire was he'd have a book about this thick, like 5-6 inches thick, and he'd be staring in the book. Stand by. And we saw him graduate from college, and then we saw him apply to medical school, and then we saw him go to medical school, and then we saw him take all his exams, and then he went off to Madison, Wisconsin for his residency, and then finally at I don't know, age 32, age 33, after all of the education is done, after all the residency and a million plus in student loans, Jason is ready to go. And he is a top level dermatologist. Okay. And there is a practice on the east side of the state that handpicked him to be at this doctor's office. So, you know, and starting salary on this type of physician is like $550,000 a year. And we're so proud of him. He is absolutely awesome. So now with great regularity, people come up, hey, what's this? Hey, what is this on my face? You know, he's an expert on the skin. Fantastic physician. Everybody loves him. Rising the ranks in the medical profession. Isn't that awesome? Then you, I don't know, you put in about 20 good years, maybe 30 if you're lucky, of high-level earning. I said to him, I go, Jason, if you live within your means, you can be out of debt in about maybe 4 years. Live within your means. Okay, Uncle Eric. I still make him call me Uncle Eric. Then you got Josh, who's 6'9" and a teacher. That is my niece's husband, my other niece's husband. And then you got Marquis and Josh, 6'9" Josh. We're proud of him, too. He's a teacher and is just a wonderful soul, one of the sweetest guys on the planet. But I can't brag about him as much as Jason because no one cares about teachers. I'm totally kidding. I don't want them to get butthurt by that comment. I love you. Then you got Marquis, who is Sue's husband. He works for one of the utilities. And then I got Charity Scam Mike. Stand by. Apologies. Chris says, turn your mic back on, dummy. So as I was saying, no Josh, no Jason, just me alone. Pooh Bear is like, I don't like you using the chainsaw alone. And I'm like, you know, you're right, but it's got to be done. I will be extra careful. So that pause there, which on the audio podcast, I'll cut it out. But during the live show, there was about 40 seconds of silence because I hit the cough button and then didn't turn the mic back on. Embarrassing. Thank you to all of you for correcting me on that. Before I get into the fat-a-thon, I've got a great story to tell you. I was invited to be involved with one of the local Little League's opening ceremonies. Now, this is as local as you can get. Thank you, by the way, to friend of the show, Kyler. Remember Kyler? Let's go! Kyler dropped my name with these folks some time ago, and then they finally reached out and they said, hey, would you be willing to MC for 30 or 40 minutes the opening ceremonies of our local Little League? I go, yeah, fuck yes, I'll do it. And, excuse me. So it's real simple. You stand on pitcher's mound. All the moms and dads are there. They're going to play games after this. You got T-ball to like kids pitched, you know, to like whatever levels. There's probably about 25 teams I got introduced. And it's all like so-and-so plumbing team, Chico's bail bonds team. You know, there's your Bad News Bears reference. Introduce the kids come running out and they all line the outside of the field, just past the infield. And then the local mascot from the high school throws out the first pitch. And then we got the mascot from the minor league team there. He throws out the first pitch. And I actually led the singing of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It was fantastic. Sweet young lady from the local high school senior, she sang the national anthem. It was as local and as fun as you can get. You got food trucks there. I talked to several people like, hey, thanks for doing this. I'm like, well, that's, I'm glad. They're paying me. So I didn't say that. I go, well, I'm just glad to be invited. I'm just glad to be here. So I'm doing all this Eric Zaytunian shit. But I wanted to go ghetto on this motherfucker because I'm standing there talking to this dude, Matt. There's these two dudes that run the Little League. Matt is one of them. And these are two of the nicest people on the planet. Phil's the other guy. He invited me out. The whole thing worked out great. And now all these people, this is a labor of love. This is a real volunteer spirit here. Because if you think about it, any person that is associated with this type of activity on a volunteer level, whether you're running the Little League or you're helping in the administration or you're one of the coaches or the umpires. The volunteers might get a little cash. They're usually kids to do it. But basically what this means is if you are a parent of any one of these kids and you don't know which ones, okay, some are going to be cool. But there are going to be a lot of parents who are cocks. And this is before the first pitch is even thrown, and we already have one asshole who introduced himself to me and my guy Matt here. Now, I was not in the crosshairs. Matt was. Matt's got all this audio video equipment, and you know, there's some music playing after all the festivities that I told you about. And I'm just chit-chatting with the guy afterwards, and very quickly I realized that the interaction that I was watching that I'm gonna tell you about now was nobody. I mean, this guy was serious. Some dude, he's a tall, slender guy, looks to be about 40. And he comes up and interrupts our conversation. We were talking about whatever, you know. And this guy just interrupts. And he says, what is this? And I'm thinking to myself, is this guy kidding? No, he's not kidding. He's upset about something. And Matt goes, I'm sorry, what's up?
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Yeah, there was an F-bomb in this song. And he's like that intense, you know? And Matt goes, okay. And so now that right there is already too much. You know, in a perfect world, the guy comes up, he says, hey man, FYI, there's an F-bomb in this song. So I don't know. Oh my God, thank you for telling me. Switch song. That's it. You know, one of those things that happens. But this cock is going to take it 10 times further. And he goes, he does that. And then Matt kind of like, wow, okay. And he's like regrouping. And then this guy starts lecturing him. And he's just continues to berate poor Matt. And Matt, he doesn't take it all. He lets the guy continue to go on for just too long. And the guy says, well, you know what? You know what? Matt says, you know what? How about you volunteer next year and you can be in charge of making the playlist? How does that sound? And then the guy comes back and he's ready for round two. And the guy goes, you know what? And the next thing this guy said, this asshole said, that was, I couldn't believe it. Sounded like he was 80 years old. He actually said, I can't even believe you got this stuff. And Matt goes, what? And the guy goes, well, in my day, we didn't have any music playing. I can't even believe you got music playing for these kids. Back when I played, they didn't have that. And I'm like, listen to yourself, you fuck. Now, in my brain, I'm like, oh, fucking kill him. Get him easy. Get him. But I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm just going to lay low and watch. And then Matt like, yeah, okay, thanks. And then the guy just kind of like harumphed his way out of there. And my question is, is this the type of guy who probably screamed at his wife and smacked her earlier in the day? Is he that pissed off? And then this just kind of like made it more intense. Or is he just the type of cock who all it takes is for him to hear a song that has a bad word in it, and he's immediately in the red? I mean, what's going on there? Jesus, fuck. I couldn't believe it, man. And so the guy leaves, and I go, oh, my God. I cannot believe that. He goes, it's no big deal. I just let that slide. You see, that's the type of people that you have to have running that organization. Because too many of those parents think that it's okay to just beat up these volunteers who put on these, make these great organizations for their kids to take part in. You fucking dick. Oh, I hated that guy. Fuck that dude. In my wish, I'm hoping that he secretly listens to this podcast, which is probably not the case, and is able to actually hear this right now. My God, if you want to find the biggest bunch of assholes, sign your kid up to any youth league, and they will emerge in front of your eyes. They think that they can say whatever they want to whoever they want with no ramifications. Assholes. My God. Maureen says that guy probably says the F word in front of his kids on the regular. Yoda World says, what kind of hootenanny is this? It's practically a jamboree. Chris says, yeah, that's right, Maureen, and then takes him out to Sunday lunch after church and is an a-hole to the poor server at Applebee's. Man Bun Chris says, so many of them nowadays. Chris is the guy who has to answer the call, by the way. Chris, that's a labor of love to oversee an organization where kids play and have to deal God, with the calls. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. Yeah, fuck off. Kids play. Words like kids, play, game. These are all things that the average asshole parent should review before they decide to say a word. It's just there to pass the time, to enrich your child. Dick. God damn it. My mother used to do that. God rest her soul. I've told this story many, many times. If I am out anywhere with my mom and she would interact with the public. Oh my God. Oh, and I remember I used to talk about this on the radio. And then I would hear from my father-in-law, who's not father-in-law, my stepfather, who is still with us today. And he would say, yeah, she still does that, Eric. She still does what you just described. Stand by. Excuse me. We go grocery shopping, and if my mom thought that a can of olives was 32 cents and it rang up at 33 cents, she would throw a wrench in the whole process. And despite it's ridiculous as it would be over 1 cent, she'd do it. She'd fight over it. But she wouldn't do it politely. And oh, I remember there was a time. Well, this happened regularly where we would be ordering food, and if the server happened to not get what my mom ordered. I'm sorry, could you say that again? You wanted it. And how did you want your steak cooked, ma'am? I said medium. And before she'd say that, she'd go, okay, all right, listen, okay. Media. And I'm like, oh my God, fuck, you're gonna get your food spit in. So am I. So ugly. Oh God, did that hurt my soul? It's traumatic. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into the fat-a-thon. And I'm a little bit disappointed in myself because I don't have my good notes in front of me. Or are they here? Maybe they're here. I need the glasses. Everybody weighed in. Let me just get this out of the way. I was at 180 last week. I'm at 182 and a half now. Because In addition to not podcasting, the other thing I did was I ate only comfort food. So that's ugly. There you go. Which means I was down 5 pounds in 6 weeks. I am now down 3.5 in 7. Not good. Excuse me. Let's see here. Rebecca. Was at, let's see, 284. We suggested to her, yeah, try counting your calories. I guess that worked because she has good news to report. She is down to 282.9, which puts her, after going up to 10.6 total pounds lost, she is now at 11.7 in 13 weeks. Good recovery. I'm proud of you. I'm pretty sure that Amanda recovered appropriately too. She had gone up to 298.2 and was really kind of struggling, you know. And we kind of gave her a pep talk, and something worked out because she's at 297.6. Now, I want you to jump on this week. Get after this week. Let's put together two in a row. I mean, you're still not setting the world on fire, and we're looking for consistency here. Think Jeremy. You know, a pound here, a pound there a week over a long period of time. That's what you need. Let's get out of this spinning our wheels with a week down, 2 weeks up, 2 weeks down, 3 weeks up. You know, let's try to replicate some type of forward momentum here. Okay, so she is down 0.6, which puts her down 18.9 in 14 weeks. Stand by. All right. This is super interesting, though. Jeremy is very not happy with himself at all. So you might be thinking, well, he finally came back down to earth and after so much success has had a regression. No, not at all. Jeremy is not happy because he lost too much weight in the past 7 days. He was at 248.5 and is now at 242.9. And he wrote, "I'm not happy today, EZ. I ate light on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, anticipating a gorge fest on Easter Sunday. But I weigh overcompensated, not good." Yeah, because we've talked about what he had been doing, you know, pound here, pound and a half there, 0.8 pounds there was the secret sauce on his weight loss. So for him to suddenly drop, Jesus Christ. Almost 6 pounds, is that right? 5.7 or 5.6. I think that's right. Yeah. Is probably something you don't want to do because then you can fall into that trap of for some reason that's not a good habit to get into. According to people who are diet experts and dietitians. But, okay, so you might go back up next week. And that's probably what he's referring to. You know what I mean? And that breaks his heart, you know? Then you're looking at 2 weeks of God, you know, the negativity of losing so much weight, and then the thinking about, well, boy, what's it going to be when I get myself back into this next week, and will it go up? And then he has to deal with that. So you're right. It might mess with your mind. So not great. But for now, let's still look at this as, with that big amount of weight loss, 92.4. And I'm going to put an asterisk on that, or like a caveat, because that this might lead to a weird next week. But I'm still going to give you the star on the blubber for dropping 5.6. Rebecca, Amanda, Jeremy. As it is, the fact that you're down 92.4 pounds is quite a number, but I'm advising caution here. Maureen says maybe he shaved his beard. Amy suggests Jeremy having a very big bowel movement. Molly's offering congratulations, but I don't know if we want to give him congratulations. Again, this goes against the Jeremy weight loss plan, which is slow and steady wins the race. To suddenly drop 5.6, yeah, dude, just get back after it. I would suggest still keeping yourself in some type of deficit. And then hopefully no ill effects there. He says, I'll be down again next week, 1 to 2 pounds like usual. Well, let's hope for that. And I think that it is very important if you're into the boat of any of these folks trying to lose weight, do count your calories. Write it down. Excuse me. You should know. I think it's real simple. You should know what you're supposed to eat in a day. And then eat appropriate foods and don't kill it on the calories. I don't give a shit if it's all healthy food. If you're getting in more calories than you're supposed to, you're going to gain weight. All right. There you go. So congrats to everybody except me. Boy, did I go on the comfort food. It was like whenever I got hungry. Isn't there a saying? Don't you have to like feed a cold and starve a fever? Or is it starve a cold and feed a fever? Which one is it? Because I know I was feeding a fever or feeding a cold. My God. That was my thing. It was the spectacular amount of food. You do feed a cold, Stevie says. So doctor's orders right there. All right. We had the garage sale over the weekend, and the garage sale was fucking great. If you ever are in a spot where you have a neighborhood garage sale, the locals love neighborhood garage sales. Don't just do a one-off one. Do one when the whole neighborhood's doing it. Maureen says you got to feed a cold and feed a fever. Here at the house, we fed the Mexicans because there was literally a bus with, I don't know the word in Spanish that was on the side of it. It was a white bus of landscape workers. And they all came out of the bus wearing yellow type of with reflective gear on it. And I'm just going to assume that they were all illegal. Okay. And there was probably 15 to 20 illegal aliens in the garage shopping. And they buy clothes for next to nothing. So I've talked about this before. If you have a garage sale around here and it's publicized right, the entire Mexican population is going to buy everything. So all these Mexicans are in the garage buying the stuff. And I stand about 4 feet taller than all of them. At my little 5'8", and they're all speaking Spanish, And they start talking to me, and I look to Pooh Bear, and I go, and then she speaks very good but not fluent Spanish. And she is wheeling and dealing with these people. And I always find it really attractive when she's speaking Spanish. I always find my wife super attractive in so many different ways. But when she is speaking a foreign language and speaking to these people, I'm always like, look at you. You're so beautiful. This is so wonderful. If anybody is speaking a different language, I always find that to be such a wonderful thing. And so she's talking to these people. Chris says, did Dean find anything nice at the sale? No, thank God we didn't have any former Zaniac sightings. I think some of them are dead. Hopefully. Anyway, so the Mexicans are there, and then one of the Mexicans wants to buy the clarinet. We're selling this clarinet for $150, and he wants to pay $100. And I look at Diana, and she goes, he wants to pay you $100. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, tell him I'll do it. I'll sell it to him for $100. And so Diana confirms, and then he didn't buy it. I was like, what the fuck, man? The hockey equipment sold. Actually, I take it back. The hockey equipment didn't sell. I took it to like play. Diana didn't want to sell it at the store because it was at the garage sale because it was too much shit. I sold it to play it against sports. So while she's having the garage sale, I'm selling used hockey equipment. Then I take the violin to the music place. No, we don't want it. What? How the fuck can you not want it? It's a perfectly good violin. Somebody will fucking use it, you idiot. Went to another music store, tried to sell the clarinet. No, they don't want it. Fuck you. Bring the clarinet back. Bring the violin back. They didn't sell. So now I got to sell a violin and a clarinet. I'm selling my celestial excitement telescope. Somebody bought the telescope. And I said, if it doesn't work, because I said to him, he goes, what's wrong with it? I go, nothing. But I was never good at it, and I never had the patience to get it to work. He goes, so does it work? I go, yeah. But I've never got it to work. I've never done anything to make it not work. And so he's looking at me like I'm crazy. I go, tell you what, it's $150. Pay me $125. If it sucks, bring it back, and I'll give you your money back. He goes, all right. I sold my smoker. It had never been used. I sold, you know, all those records I had in this spot behind me? I sold every one of them. As soon as the garage sale starts, some nerd comes walking up and he goes, do you have any used records? And I didn't even get these out of there. And I go, yeah, actually I do. I didn't even get them. I go, let me go get them. I get them. I put them in a tote. I got them on my shoulder. And then I fucking trip down the stairs and I fell down the fucking stairs. And all the records come flying out of the thing. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. And so I don't think any were broke. I didn't look to check. I put them all back in the thing. And I go, here they are, man. Yeah. And these are all in really good shape. These were given to me by some dude years ago. All right. He gave me about 60, 70 records. And he gave me a smoker. And I built the smoker, and it's been sitting in the garage, never used it even once. Sold the smoker to my neighbor for $40. Sold the records to this nerd. He goes, I'll take them all. $80. I go, sold. And then he's the type of guy, because when I bought those things, I then bought a turntable. And then this is what I did. I got the needle, and I put it down on physical graffiti by Led Zeppelin. What's that song called? I'm listening. I'm like, oh, this is so great. I don't even remember the fucking song. What's it called? God damn it. Trampled Underfoot? Kashmir! That's it. Oh, my God, yes. And, oh, this is great. Jesus Christ, I got a record. And then I put the needle back and I never listened to a single one again. You know why? Because they fucking suck. That's why. Because I've got my fucking phone. That's why. I'll get these fucking records out of here. So I sold those fucking things. We sold a Wii and all the games that go. It's like every game that's ever happened in Wii. Some kid, you have any Wii games? I go, yeah, how about these? And the Wii. You want this? Oh, yeah, I only have $50. I go, that's fine. Take it. Get the fuck out of here. I don't give a shit. Dana's like, we could have sold that for more. I go, fuck you. We got it. Don't even worry about it. Stevie says, I don't understand why records are popular again. They suck. Oh, I know it. It's so bad. And then this dork who bought them, he didn't leave. I came back up here, and I don't even know what the fuck I was doing. She goes, hey, that guy didn't leave. He kept telling me about records. And she was like, hey, asshole, we just sold the records. We don't give a fuck about records, or else we would have kept the records, dick. Get your fucking records and get the fuck out, nerd. Oh, my God. Alan says, vinyl sounds better. Yeah, I have seen that. On Reddit, people have said it's so much more of a rich sound. It's like, you're a dick. Okay, no, it doesn't. All those pops and statics and shit, those aren't on a digital copy. Discs, I could see discs because it's perfect and clear. All right? But who gives a fuck about discs? Because I've got my phone, you fucking asshole. Fuck your records and fuck off. God damn it. Jeremy's a twat. He says, I like physically owning the music I like. I don't. Hey, I'll get the record out and I'll put it on my turntable. I like to save my time. Hey, Siri. Play Led Zeppelin Kashmir on Spotify.
Kashmir by Led Zeppelin now playing on Spotify.
You see, asshole? Isn't that easier?
Oh, I'm going to put my records on.
I just talked to this goddamn machine, and it's playing it right now. Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face. Darky heels out here. I don't know what he says. All right. That's the first part of the podcast. I got to go to the staff meeting. Thanks for being here. I'll talk.